Hi, everyone. My name is Stephanie Benassi, and I just wanted to thank the Viz Art Center for supporting my art, and Susan and Frank for all their assistance. So I'm just going to give a brief talk. I'm going to probably walk around with the pieces and sort of try to bring some clarity to the work. But I think I'll start with a very short bio. So originally, I've always saw myself as a more straight photographer who used a very, I used an analog film camera with very little manipulation and just would print and sort of show a scene. And historically, photography has been looked at as this idea of windows and mirrors. It can be both or it can be one or the other. Windows being it shows you a world out, and mirrors having it reflect more towards like you're holding up a mirror towards the viewer. Is this you? Do you relate? And so the more I worked with this straight sort of photo with very little manipulation, I started to actually become really frustrated with the fact of the ubiquitous surface that photography often has, like prints or even on the screen. There's this feeling of the surface never changes. It's always the illusion of surface. And I became really jealous of painters. Like, I was like, oh, they get to talk about, like, this little white shape, some texture. And I was like, oh, I really would like to sort of, like, investigate more of that. But I kept hitting a wall with the traditional sort of higher-end film camera. I was like, it's still coming out flat with this illusion of surface. So eventually I abandoned that kind of camera, and the camera's actually in this work here. So periodically, you'll see this larger medium format camera. But these were all shot using an oatmeal container and just analog silver gelatin paper that's light sensitive. And so I would take this very fundamental camera. You probably made this in maybe elementary or even high school. It's called a pinhole camera. And you slide the paper in, and there's just this little hole. And it exposes the paper, and it makes something called a paper negative. So these are all in reverse. And so I started to experiment with this, and I felt like as I was working with it, I was sort of hitting this archaic, nostalgic wall with it. And so I started to add collage from mass-produced images, magazines, etc. And I really wanted to hone in and figure out what kind of collage needed to be on it. And so I decided that they kind of needed contemporary bling. And so I started like just cutting out like jewelry and putting them on. And then I realized that there was something happening with the work where it was about the surface, like changing the surface literally and playing back and forth between these two sort of flat surfaces, one being the image that I took with the pinhole camera, and the other one being the one that was mass-produced with jewelry. And I started to combine it with jewelry that was owned by royalty, so jewelry that's not for sale but passed down, sort of crowns and things like that, and sort of really look at this idea of how photography relates to this sort of industrialized world, but also how it mirrors this idea of desire. Like, it can really show desire in magazines, like you want to have these things, you want to see. You know, we can see it all the time with celebrities, like there's this surface that we really want to delve into. And I think that's why celebrities or even royalty become really fascinating, is because they're showing you a surface or a facade, and you're really trying to quest through delving in. And so I thought that was a good metaphor for photography and how you can sort of like really try to delve into the surface to define something. And I work a lot with, you know, misusing the chemicals. So like these two pieces that are here, these sculptural pieces, are a collection of, you know, light-sensitive traditional photo paper. And instead of doing the chemical process the correct way, I started to just, like, mix them up and see what happens. And I actually figured it out. I teach photography, and I kind of stole this idea from a student. They were misusing the chemicals in the lab. And I was like, how are you getting this kind of, like, reaction that's happening? And they were like, I don't know. And I was like, let me watch you, like, do this process. And they were moving through the chemicals too fast, and the chemicals weren't rinsing off from one another. And it started to, the developer started to interact with something called the fix, which was the last chemical. And I was like, you got to rinse in between. But that's how they were getting it. So as soon as they left, like they were done with class, I was like, I'm going to try some experiments. And so I shut down the dark room, and I started to work that way. And I ended up getting these images that on the edges, it started to reflect, and the silver turned into a positive rather than turning black as it would in traditional processes. It started to become more metallic, and it started to have these sort of tarnishing properties. And so I kind of placed it with these other sort of silver objects, mass-produced kind of cheap silver-plated objects that were also tarnishing. So at the same time, both of these, like the photos and the objects, are tarnishing at the same time. And I thought it was a good reference to this idea of like high tea or decoration that like it's never used. It's sort of always just about the surface or the sheen on your table. And underneath these pieces are like dollies. And I thought it was interesting because it started to function like this like really low to the floor like waiter cart that could be moved around. And so I just like kept working with that. And then eventually I came across these magazines. And this is a collection of Royal... I don't know if you know this magazine. It's called Royalty. And it is very popular in Europe, although obviously you can get it here. It's kind of expensive. And it's a collection of, like, it's basically a tabloid of the Europe's royalty. And so I was flipping through, and I thought, like, wouldn't it be interesting to sort of, like, I don't know, like, add more to their surface so that they become even more obtuse. But I couldn't resist like the ladies on the back. And I was like, okay, well, we got to see their like beautiful hats and like their weird sort of like being caught like eating a, you know, a souffle or whatever she's eating, or like a milkshake, or waving from a golf cart. I also like Princess Stephanie's glam shot. Like, I was like, okay. And so I tried to just put them in, and I couldn't help but take the joke a little further and add these sort of silver spoons. I don't know what I was, I must have been, you know, that koala bear like thing that you do, like where you put the nose, your spoon on your nose, and you're like, I look like a koala bear. And so I thought, oh, wouldn't that be kind of funny? And so it was, again, this three-dimensional object on this flat surface, and then combined with this silver to sort of make it more obtuse. And I started to use this tarp, and I use it in another piece, and I'll get to that shortly. But I thought the tarp was like the most interesting thing because living in Baltimore, there is a street called North Ave, and on Saturdays, you know, it's not illegal, but it's not really, you know, they don't get a permit to do this, but like sellers will sell things on tarps. And they were selling a lot of celebrity headshots that, like, they must have acquired. And so they'd be on the tarp laying down kind of like a yard sale style. And I was like, oh, I should just take their aesthetic. I'm just going to take their aesthetic, and I'm going to use it. And then I got this tarp, and I thought it kind of looked like an ocean in a way. Like, we're sort of, like, communicating. And we're here in the United States looking in at this, like, European royalty across the pond. And so I started to move the tarp and push it further. And I started to work with these pieces here. And I only have one example here. I'm sort of working on more. This isn't a photograph at all. I mean, technically, the only photographs, true photographs in this show are the magazines shot by someone else. But this isn't photo paper at all. It's just a piece of acetate, which is the same material that negatives are made of, just acetate with silver applied to it. And I just added some black paint, and I sort of left it for a few days, and I came across this old sort of occult work where people felt like during early photography that they had captured like ghost fingerprints in the darkroom. And so it would just be this collection of like fingerprints. And at the time, photography was so new that the general public was easily fooled by this. Like, they didn't realize that that could have just been like the photographer putting their fingerprints. So they're like, look at this. It's ghost fingerprints. And people were like, is it Lincoln? Yes. And so I say, of course. And they, you know, I started to use this, but I blew it up and made it bigger, and it's obviously it's not fingerprints at all. It's just me sort of wiping away at the surface. And they would mark these fingerprints with these sort of arbitrary numbers and letters to sort of make it seem more real, more scientific. And it's really, it's a funny history, but it's also an interesting history because people, transcendentalists and other sort of more political people, would use these kind of images to sort of solidify their viewpoints. So if they were, like, women's rights have sort of also been associated with this transcendentalist. Mary Todd Lincoln was here, and she says that we should have the right to vote. And people would be like, yes, of course. Here's the proof. Here are her fingerprints, or something like that. Or they would be a picture of her. And I was like, that's really an interesting sort of way. So I started to also expand this idea. And recently, there was the decision made to put a woman on the $10 bill. And so I was like, who's the woman? They had that contest. Like, who's it going to be? And we were like, I don't know. And they had like five names. And I was like, who's it going to be? And so I started to take photos or silhouette shapes of people that I knew and sort of put them on these photographic surfaces with gold leaf, sort of as like an homage. But the difference between my sort of coin or image of money was that I picked like women that I knew personally, and there's sort of like a stand-in for anonymous as a woman. It's like all these like great women were being nominated, and I was like, well, you know, we're all kind of great. And maybe we should have more of, looking more at us that way. I only have two here. I have a collection of 10 of these, and I just decided to show two. And I thought this kind of looked like an altarpiece, so I placed it in this sort of fashion. There's other work. It's a little more obtuse. I'll just say briefly is that I have pieces sort of scattered throughout the gallery, and these are sort of pinhole images with the attempt to try to get actual imagery, and I sort of failed, and I ended up with these weird little dots, and I thought they looked like mammograms, so I just kind of like kept them in. So they're spread out through here, and then this is sort of the last piece that I'll briefly speak about is these two. It functions as a diptych, and I sort of, again, like misuse the chemicals. This is just a photocopy of silver, historic silver, that's like been collected at museums, and it's in their collection. And I would photocopy it out of a book or print it off the internet, and I would just place these photocopies directly onto photo paper, expose it, and get a negative or a reverse of it. And then instead of developing it the traditional way, where you would get the whole surface would be black in the background, I decided to sort of like make it look like waves, like just half develop it. And so I started to also get these streaks in like combination with these urns, and I was like, it kind of looks like, you know, that spiritual practice. And so I thought that was also an interesting way for me to work. So I've been exploring all these different ideas. You know, and I think the most interesting thing that I found is, you know, photography is, as much as it is about seeing, it's also about not seeing, like what you don't see in images, what you can't see in images, and also what is not available like outside of the frame of images. But to me, also another important factor is that it really is, just as much as it's a window and a mirror, it is also an object that has consequences, whether it's sort of social consequences by what's being depicted, but also actual, like, ecology consequences by how it's being made and how it's being used. And now it even has technological consequences because now it's on a screen being sort of shifted through. So that's all I have to say. If there's any questions?
Just a technical question. I mean, when I first saw these tables,
yeah,
I thought you were using ceramic tile and somehow getting the photo imprint on that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just it's photo paper that's been mounted, and I've mounted it to a fairly thick board of MDF to give it some kind of like sculptural weight instead of rather just paper. So I'm sort of like, again, sort of trying to reassert the object. But no, it's actual photo paper.
But you did something along the edges of many of those panels.
Yeah.
Makes it look very much like it as a three-dimensional.
Yeah, and that's that misuse of the chemical. I could only get that from using the chemicals inappropriately. And it sort of like created this sort of like reverse process. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie.
Oh, thank
that
you.
Was fabulous.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I actually
wanted
to ask you something.
Yes.
The title of your show.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Matt Duchess.
We have our own theory.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got it from, you know, perusing and doing, obviously, research, and I came across this French duchess who had two daughters, and they were all sort of declared as mad, but it turns out that they might have been being poisoned and that they weren't mad, and so I thought it was an interesting reference because I was like, the madness of the image. And also the madness of the chemicals. Like, you can get silver poisoning, you can get poison from the actual chemicals, but also, like, the madness of the surface of the image and how you're sort of being depicted by imagery, like, especially for, you know, famous people, politicians, how they're sort of being portrayed by imagery has become sort of really important and almost on the verge of madness or insanity. But that's what I was thinking. I would love to hear what your ideas.
Well, I started like, who's the bad duchess? Like, yeah. Who is she referring to? What is she talking about? I came across all these articles about women that, you know, they were royalty, but like they wouldn't go along with the conventions of the time.
Yeah.
And personality, and they do what they want.
Right.
And so they just call her the Mad Duchess. She's,
right.
She's crazy because she does what she acts like a person, like her own person.
Right.
You know? Yeah,
and that was even happening to Diana because she wanted to have her own life and to be in love. She was sort of accused of being sort of mad in many ways. Like, who's this mad woman who's getting divorced? And, so that way, even recently, but that Mad Duchess reference, I think that was from like the 1400s. There was like really early references of the Mad Duchess.
So in a way, you're breaking with a lot of conventions in
yeah.
your work.
Yes, I don't have. And I sort of also saw that. I know there's only three Mad Duchesses, but I saw those pinholes, the way that they're shaped, as like figures, like the Mad Duchess and her daughters are sort of like all standing in unison.
Stephanie, I came in late. Did you already talk about your framing and your choices?
These choices or the tarp?
It seems like you choose like either very high contrast framing or none at all. Is that
intentional? The none at all framing, I think, was really important for these because I wanted it to be seen as one piece made out of a grid and sort of bleed through and sort of not really look at the frame device, but rather sort of see the framing like through the shape of the The rest, I just wanted something that was very simple to sort of not block up the images. Something might have, there was a time, this is like really silly. There was a time where like everybody was using white frames, and when I was in graduate school, everybody used white frames, and I was like, I'm tired of white frames. I'm gonna use black frames. And so I think it was just maybe like a little bit of like Mad Duchess, like I'm gonna do my own thing. Yeah, and I think you know, white would have worked as well. I mean, the most radical framing, I guess, would be the use of the tarp. Per se. Yes.
One other reaction to this piece. With all these women with spoons covering up parts of their faces, I'm thinking, what do they really look like? Pick up the spoon and find out.
Mm-hmm. And some of them we kind of know like what they look like. Like I feel like we really know what Diana looks like. And a lot of them, we don't really know who they are. So it does, it's sort of like, it does block their sort of identity. But like, you know, how much of royalty do we know? It's sort of like we've had a lot of like musicians die, like in many ways, it's sad, but in many ways, like they're still with us in the same way, because we only really have a relationship with their celebrityism and their music. So a lot for in everyday people doesn't change.
Thank you.